When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening, everybody? It is time for another crossover here. We've got the Stochastic YouTube channel and the DFS by the Numbers YouTube channel. We're collaborating together to bring you guys some MMA DFS content. Do us a favor while you're watching this. Like the video, subscribe to both Brady and myself's YouTube channel, Stochastic and DFS by the Numbers. And we're about to break down the best weekend, what I think is going to be one of the trickier cards, not just of the year, that I've ever seen for DFS purposes, because the betting odds are so flat and there are no real big favorites, like not one. The biggest favorite we have right now is Rose Namajunas, barely over a minus 200 favorite in the main event. So really quickly, before we get into breaking down some of the fights we like to target, Brady, is this going to change any of your overall strategy for this DFS slate?
Yeah, it is. I feel like this is a card where you can like really get different and leave some salary on the table. Like I have a feeling like the winning lineup's going to have just a ton of salary left on the table, because I was telling you before the show, like you can make a case for every single underdog on the card. Like Steven Wynn, for example, is 9,400 and he's only minus 164 at the moment. So this is one of the weirder slates ever. So probably going to be leaving some salary on the table and getting a little bit different. But yeah, it's a tough one. It certainly is a tough week this week.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. I think this is one of the more sensible cards to leave not just some salary, but a lot of salary on the table. Because like you said, if we've got fighters that are priced at $9,400 and Steven Wynn, who's barely even favored in his fight, like his odds are almost the same as Miles Johns in the mid-range. So it's very, very flat odds kind of across the pricing. But we're going to do our best to navigate it for you guys right here and break down some of the fighters that we like targeting. Beginning with the main event, we have Amanda Ribas taking on Rose Namajunas. Rose is, at the time we're recording, the biggest favorite on the card. And there's been a ton of line movement in this fight as well, where Rose has generally been around minus 200 for this matchup. But the line very quickly shot to like minus 260, minus 270 at books yesterday, and then quickly got bet right back down to around the minus 200 mark, and the line's been moving a lot. But for DFS purposes, which side of this fight are you planning to be a little bit heavier on, Brady?
Yeah, I guess you could attack both sides here, but for me, it's the Rose side, 9,200. There aren't a lot of fighters I feel great about, but I guess she'd be one I feel decent about. I just feel like she's the much better fighter. She's fought the much better competition. She has wins over Zhang Wei Li, beat her twice. She beat, you know, Ioane Jędrzejczyk, Jessica Andrade, so on and so forth. Amanda Ribas, I think her best win is probably like either Viviane Araújo or Mackenzie Dern, but Dern was coming off of that layoff in pregnancy. So yeah, Rose has been 25 minutes plenty of times, whereas with Amanda Ribas, this is going to be her first five-round fight. I worry about the durability of Amanda Ribas, and I just feel like Rose is going to be the better striker here. So yeah, Rose, 9,200, five rounds to work with. I'll be probably heavier on her this week.
That's where I'm at too. And minute for minute, I think it should be pretty competitive. You could even make a case that Ribas would potentially be the minutes winner in this spot if she's able to land takedowns. But I'm also really concerned about the durability, as you are, Brady, because Rose Namajunas for WMMA has some of the best finishing ability and power that we've seen there. Like you look at some of the wins for Rose, especially against very, very good opponents. She knocked out Zhang Wei Li in a minute. She also knocked out Ioane Jędrzejczyk in 3 minutes. And then even some of her fights that maybe she lost or just fights that went to decision, we still saw like she landed a knockdown against Jessica Andrade. She also landed a knockdown against Michelle Waterson Gomez and then ultimately ended up submitting her in that fight. And we've seen Amanda Ribas time and time again. She is not very defensively responsible. She gets hurt a lot. We saw her get finished by Macy Barber. I know there wasn't officially a knockdown landed in that fight, but she took a ton of punishment, ended up being a second round finish for Macy Barber in that fight. We've also seen Amanda Ribas get finished by Marina Rodriguez. We've seen her hurt on numerous other occasions. And I don't think that Ribas is live to finish Rose Namajunas in this matchup. So with that in mind, it's a fight that's going to be 25 minutes with Namajunas just needing to land once clean on Ribas' chin to potentially put her out. So overall, I'm going to be leaning towards Rose in the main event. She's also my favorite pay-up option for the slate as a whole, because it's really hard to find pay-up options that I have any kind of confidence in. And I know that you're kind of in that same boat because we were talking about it before we started recording, but are there any favorites that you do feel really confident just outright win this weekend?
No, there's really not, man. But from a DraftKings perspective, a payoff option I don't mind is going to be Ricardo Ramos, 8,900. And this is another close fight. Like, you can definitely make a case for Juliana Rosa, but Juliana Rosa is entering that like Matt Schnell territory of durability for me. I mean, he's been knocked out seven times. Like, that's a ton. Seven times. He's been knocked out six times in the UFC alone. This is a guy in Juliana Rosa who's very hittable, a 47% striking defense. So, yeah, he's very hittable. The durability is definitely waning. He's only getting older. He's coming off of a brutal knockout loss, two brutal knockout losses against Padilla, and then also Alex Caceres as well. So we've seen Ricardo Ramos flash some power. He has a couple knockout wins in the UFC. So he'd be that one guy that I don't mind paying up for. And then, like you, I think Rose as well would be the other fighter I don't mind paying up for. And then other than that, it just gets kind of ugly up there. So, yeah, I think Ricardo Ramos has a ton of finishing upside. I could see him landing that, and that spinning back elbow he loves to land.
Yeah, and it's another thing, too, just the durability of Arosa, super questionable, right? Because I don't think Arosa is bad by any means. He just can't really take a shot, which is unfortunate because when we've seen him actually go to decision, like we saw him beat Hakeem Dawodu, he has some good wins on his record, but it can only carry you so far if he's been knocked out. I don't know how many times he's been knocked out, like six times or something like that at this point. So he's been hurt a bunch of times, been knocked out, and there is a lot of power on the side for sure of Ricardo Ramos. So I agree with you. I think he's somebody to look at. I'm going to talk about Carl Williams here. And boy, it gives me a lot of hesitation, Brady, because we were talking about this one before we started recording this. And he was somebody who, coming into this week, I had a lot of confidence. And I was like, I'm going to play a lot of Carl Williams. And I was comparing him to the other payup options. And then I rewatched Carl Williams' fight against Chase Sherman. And he went 1-for-10 on takedowns in that fight. And it was like, boy, that's definitely a little bit dicey. It makes me feel not great. Justin Taffa, I do think, is overall a better fighter than Chase Sherman, but both the Taffa brothers, really questionable ground games and also an inability to defend takedowns for each of them. So what I like about Carl Williams isn't necessarily that I'm super confident he's going to win. It's hard to feel really confident in a lot of these payup options, but if he wins, I think it has to come with the wrestling and grappling. If this takes place on the feet, I think he probably gets knocked out by Taffa, and I'm sure Carl Williams is aware of that. So I think he's going to be aggressively looking for the takedowns in this matchup. And while he's fighting Justin Taffa, and it is an opponent change, he was expected by Junior Taffa before, so he was more or less preparing for the exact same fight. And we have seen Carl Williams, when he does win outside of the Chase Sherman fight, we saw him land 3 takedowns against Jimmy Lawson. We saw him land 8 takedowns against Lucas Bresky. So I do think there's that potential for 6, 7, 8-plus takedowns out of Carl Williams, which would score really well for DraftKings purposes. And that's really what I'm trying to look at for this slate because, you know, how confident could you be in some of these fighters that are minus, you know, 150 to win the fight? So instead, I'm looking at when fighters win, how well do they score on DraftKings? Carl Williams profiles for me as somebody who would score pretty well in a win. But let's talk about the mid-range now. Is there anybody that you like targeting in the mid-range that you think presents a lot of upside?
Yeah, I think that Talbot-Simon fight is going to be a good one to target. I'm more so on the Talbot side. He's 8,300. I think it could be a good matchup for him. I guess the one thing I'm worried about is if Cameron Simon comes out here with a grappling-heavy game plan. But I kind of think this fight's going to take place on the feet. And when it does, I just really like the striking of Talbot. I like the volume that he brings to the table. Really good power as well. And he's like an attritional finisher. This is a guy with, I think, 6 wins inside the distance. And all 6 of those wins come in the second or third round. So he's going to kind of break you with volume. And I feel like whoever wins this fight is going to score very well. I see it being like a very fast-paced fight with a ton of strikes either way. But I'm more so on the Talbot side. And I think I'm kind of leaning more so decision, but I would not completely rule out a late finish here. So, yeah, Talbot, 8,300 would be that guy in the mid-range. Billy Q is also always up there. Like you can never ignore Billy Q from a DraftKings perspective, but another iffy one there with Billy Q. I think he's only like minus 140, and that seems to be getting like lower and lower as we speak. You know, money's coming in on Zalal. So I think Talbot and Billy Q would be those two guys for me in the mid range.
Yeah, and if you look at the output for Simon and as well as Talbot, 6.66 significant strikes landed per minute for Talbot, 5.28 on the Simon side. So I do think it's going to be pretty high pace. And another thing, too, is I don't think either of them are going to have to worry too much about the takedowns in this matchup, which will really free them up to just put out a lot of output on the feet. So I do think it's a really good fight to target. So I see that the same way as you. For me, I'm going to talk about Cody Gibson against Miles Johns for a couple of reasons. First off, Miles Johns is around a minus 150 favorite now. And when you consider that Miles Johns at 8,200 is about as big of a favorite as some of the fighters that are like $9,400 and Carl Williams on this slate, I think Miles Johns could end up being pretty popular because of just the line value here, which makes me like Cody Gibson a little bit more because I think this is a pretty good matchup for Gibson just in terms of the output. If Miles Johns wins, I think he's pretty relying on an early finish in this spot because if he doesn't, I don't think he has the pace or the cardio to keep up with Cody Gibson. And Gibson lands 4.75 significant strikes on paper. It's a pretty good mark, but the upside for his output, we saw his fight in the Ultimate Fighter final against Brad Katona. Gibson lost, but he landed 164 significant strikes. There is a 0% chance that if he throws 164 strikes, that we are going to see Miles Johns be able to keep up with that. So I'm hoping that Miles Johns ends up coming in popular. I do recognize that there's some finishing equity on the John side, but if we do see Gibson make it out of the first round, get midway through the second round, I think he takes over with the pace, either wins a pretty high volume-based striking decision, or he's able to wilt Miles Johns and maybe finish him late second round, third round, get a finish just with Johns not able to keep up with the kind of pressure that we saw Gibson bring against Brad Katona. So with that in mind, I'm going with Gibson in the mid-range, and I'm hoping for low ownership there, Brady. Here's where things get interesting, though. We talk about the cheap end of fighters. You can make a case for almost any of these fighters, considering how tightly lined a lot of these fights are, but any particular ones that you're eyeing for the upside in a win?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like there's so many dogs I like. Like I can list like several, but I guess one fight that I really do want to target, and I like the price here for Pahelo. It's 7,500, Luis Pahelo. And it's because I think this fight's probably going to be one of the best fights on the card. Like if you watch any of this guy's fights, he's coming forward with no regards to his own safety, no striking defense whatsoever, but he's super tough. He has a ton of power. And I think he's going to try to get that finish. I think he's live for the finish in every single round, actually. We've seen Padilla slow down in some fights. The thing, though, is, you know, Padilla's never been finished, but Pahelo's super dangerous, has a ton of power. So, yeah, don't mind Pahelo, 7,500. But, yeah, there's a ton of dogs this week, but I think he'd be that one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to narrow it down to just one. But one thing I do kind of want to point out here is a fighter who, all right, who's an underdog that I think could score well in a win, but then also I'm not super interested in the favorite. And that's where I'm going to look at Montserrat Rendon, who probably not a UFC caliber fighter, but her win condition in fights is going to be takedowns. And I do think that she has a pretty significant wrestling and grappling advantage over Zelzenikova, who I think I'm pronouncing that right, but not totally sure. Doing my best. This is a lot of Z's and a lot of consonants lined up next to each other in a name here. But if we look at the win that Rendon had in her UFC debut against Tamaris Vidal, and if you guys remember, Vidal was a really big favorite in that spot, and she was very popular for DFS purposes as well. She was like 30% owned. She was priced over 9K in that spot. Rendon was like 8% owned or something like that in the flagship contest. And what ends up happening, she did struggle when the fight took place on the feet, but Rendon showed some pretty good fight IQ, and she recognized her win condition was needing to wrestle and grapple. So she ends up landing 3 takedowns. She held nearly 5 minutes of control time. I wouldn't be shocked if the result kind of looks similar in this sort of matchup. She might even get a finish on the ground because I do think that she has a pretty big grappling edge. So it's if Rendon wins, we saw pretty decent output, landed 112 strikes in her UFC debut, 69 significant strikes. We could see that 100-plus strikes landed. Maybe she lands 4 or 5 takedowns, potentially a late finish. Rendon's a fighter who I think does make sense for tournaments. And then also on the other side, not a fighter that I'm really liking all the much in Zelnikova. So another reason for me to like Rendon for tournament purposes. And going to be an interesting slate this week. Not the most name value on the card. Should bring a lot of variance into play. But sometimes it could be really fun for DFS. Do you have any final thoughts on the card, Brady?
No, I mean, this is it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Like I said, I'm going to try to leave a lot of salary on the table this week. I'm going to try to get different. I just have a feeling that like we very well could get like 5, 6, 7 underdog wins this week. Like, you know, this is like a coin flippy type of card. Like you can make a case for every single dog. Like, I guess the fighter I'm feeling best about is Rose. And I'm not even feeling good about it. So, I mean, it's one of those weeks. It's a tough one.
If you guys haven't done it yet, do me a big favor, like this video, subscribe to both our channels, both Stochastic and DFS by the Numbers. On Friday, I'm going to be doing a full slate breakdown using our simulation tools over at Stochastic, and Brady always has an abundance of content, everything from betting, DFS, prize picks, putting out content every day. So go check out all Brady's content for this week's card, and good luck this weekend.
See you.